Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we have heard old and familiar words. Words that speak of a grace that is beyond our imagination. Words that speak a hard truth, that those who follow you may suffer. Words that speak of the eternal promise of your eternal presence. May we hear them, O Lord, as truth, and may we believe them and follow them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I was growing up in Richmond, Indiana, one of the jobs I had, once I was old enough, was to take the garbage out. Now, in my day, to take the garbage out meant that we took it out to the big 55-gallon drum back at the back of our lot, put it in there, and burn it. Dad would get a drum from work and bring it home, and we'd burn it, and slowly it would fill up with ash, and when it was finally filled up, he'd have it hauled away and bring another one. And I often think back at those times and imagine all the plastics and things that I'd burned that were probably very bad for the environment and probably weren't good for my little... I never had little lungs. Probably not good for my lungs. The closest we came to recycling was to take back our glass Coke bottles for 5 cents a bottle, and that was when they would take the bottles, then take them back to the distributor, wash them out, and then refill them and send them back out. Now, we've come a long way in disposing of our trash. Nowadays, if you recycle, if you compost and do all of that stuff, you have very little garbage to throw out. And we almost forget what it used to be like. And for many of us, it's hard to imagine what it would have been like many centuries ago, say in the time of Jesus. What did they do with their garbage? Granted, they didn't have paper and plastic and all of that kind of stuff that food came in, but still they had garbage. Did they have pits where they buried it? Did they burn it? We know for a fact that the valley south-southwest of Jerusalem was a trash dump. There were always fires there burning, and Jesus often referred to this site as Gehenna in his descriptions of the place for those who did not follow his teachings. It was not a nice place. Sarah Brewer, though, in her blog, Dylan's blog, talks a little bit about the method of garbage disposal in the time of Jesus. And she says, if you've watched Monty Python's Quest for the Holy Grail or Life of Brian, now this is probably the only time you're going to hear a minister refer to those two movies as something remotely positive. But she says, if you've watched those, you've got a pretty good, decent, and graphic description of what ancient streets were like. Most of the people dumped their garbage, any and all kinds of waste generated, in the streets. Just come out the doors and throw it out. So people walk through this when they were going to and from different places. And when they go out for dinner at somebody else's house, they would go in and, you know, they ate by reclining, especially in the nicer places. And there were no chairs, and there was no table covering, so feet were very obvious. And so that's why it was the job of a servant to clean the people's feet once they got to the house. And it wasn't just rubbish from food and stuff. I'm sure there was human waste mixed into this as well. So when Jesus knelt before his disciples to wash their feet, this is what he's faced with. This is why it was a slave job to clean. It was a messy, smelly job. So often, we imagine that all Jesus did was just kind of wipe the dust off people's feet. It was a lot more than that. Which begs the comparison of how much, while Jesus was willing to clean all of that crud off of people's, his disciples' feet, was he also willing and able to clean them from the stain of their sin? In our Exodus passage, we heard the first Passover. And often we imagine it's a nice little quiet dinner before the Hebrews pack themselves off to the Promised Land. Now here, I think Cecil B. DeMille and the Ten Commandments did get it right. The people ate their meal in their houses. Blood was dripping down their doorposts and the lintels. The doors were locked and they could hear the cries and the wails of the Egyptian neighbors as their firstborn died. It was hard. It was nerve-wracking. But it was out of this passing over, that God led the Hebrew people to the Promised Land. Now, I shared all of this garbage stuff with you, not because I have a fascination for trash, although my mom, when I was little, might have said differently. But one of the things that we talked about in our adult ed program the past couple of weeks is knowing the context of the stories that we read or that we hear. It's so easy to spiritualize what we read in the Bible. To purify it, to make it fit for human spiritual consumption. To kind of take all the messiness and the yuck out of it. Jesus washed the smelly, trashy, dirty feet of his disciples. What does this then say about the gift of grace that Christ gives to the disciples and us by doing this? It's a grace that will wipe out even the greatest stain from our lives. Recently I talked about in a sermon that there was a point that Jesus saw where things were going. And he could have said, you all just aren't getting it. So, time out here. I'm just going to go off to a backwater town and live a nice, quiet, peaceful life. I tried. It didn't work. At this point, though, the point of tonight, he's with his disciples at the Last Supper. He's washing the trash off their feet. The handwriting is clearly on the wall, and he knew it. He knew at whose instigation the coming events would be set in motion by. He knew it was set in motion the minute he rode that colt into Jerusalem, and everybody's yelling their hosannas, and he looks up and he sees the Roman soldiers on top of the buildings around him. And they're taking note. People are claiming this person as a king in the line of great King David. And he knew at that point he was marked, if not beforehand. And yet he stayed. Our Bible passage says he was with them to the end. He stayed, he knelt at their feet and washed the crud of the world off of them. Even all off the one who would betray him. He knew Judas was the one. And he washed Judas's feet. He stayed with his little community of bumbling, impetuous disciples and washed the Gehenna off their feet and loved them to the end. Can you imagine what our world would be like if people lived that way? Can you imagine what our communities would be like if those who call them his disciples could exhibit that kind of behavior? We have been given forgiveness that will get even the toughest stains out. The stain of betrayal. Judas was forgiven. That's what this table is about. The love and the grace that Christ gave to us because He stayed with us to the end. And so come. Be fed at this table. Let Jesus feed you with courage. The courage to hang in there and to love the people that are hard to love. Let Jesus feed you with the will to truly want to be His disciples. Let the one who sits at the feet of the world wash the crud of the world off of your life. As we sit at this table tonight, let us vow to live as Jesus lived, to serve His and our brothers and sisters. Let us do this, remembering Him. Amen.